knows that the Cecil Rhodes Professor of Geography has been beaten to death by his own antique globe is not, as you might suppose, an occasion of deep mourning within the department. Rather, it has provoked among his colleagues a fever of speculation. Who will replace him as titular chair? Will the chair be renamed after Michael Palin or Joanna Lumley? Who will lay claim to his corner office? Who will succeed him as department bore? But for Detective Chief Inspector Alma Blair, only one question matters. Who done it?
Call the police.
So, Linda, who had access to the professor's office?
Well, anybody, really. The stairs you came up are unlocked during the day. They walk past my door to get to the offices, but I don't pay much attention. And there's the other stairs at the end of the building in the Gregory Tower.
Near Professor Piper's?
That's why there's a stair lift goes all the way up.
You've got a stair lift that goes up five floors of a stone spiral staircase.
It's a listed building, so we couldn't put in a lift. And we're obliged by law to provide access for disabled members of staff and students. Prof Piper insisted.
No wonder you have to charge the students £9,000 a year. He was disabled then?
No, just lazy. I'm Mary Adamson, lecturer in post-colonial feminist geopolitics, which is a bloody sight more relevant to the modern world than the railway systems of East Africa. How can you call yourself a specialist in East Africa when you still talk about Tanganyika and Somaliland?
We are actually conducting an interview here, Dr. Adamson.
I know that, Detective. We're pretty good at research in this department. I thought I'd save you some time on the basis that at least one of my colleagues will be trying to draw attention towards me and away from them.
That's very helpful of you. I'm sure Linda here will be able to tell us where to find you when we finish talking to her.
So, if you'll excuse us now...
You mean... You don't... I can't... It's not...
All of the above, love. We'll catch you later. I don't get that a lot. People volunteering as suspects.
Why does she think she might have a motive?
Because she just lost a case before the university court alleging sexual harassment against Prof Piper.
Oh, that'd do it. And was that the right verdict?
I've no way of knowing. But on balance, probably not. He was one of that generation who think women were primarily put on earth for their benefit.
So, if everybody knows that, why didn't she win a case?
Because these days, keeping student numbers up is what it's all about. Particularly overseas students. Parents get a bit twitchy about sending their daughters halfway around the world to a university where the professors have a reputation for groping.
So the university protects the guilty?
Oh, you say that like you're surprised, Jason. Of course they do. Having a hearing makes them look like they're taking the allegations seriously, but finding them unproven means the prof walks away with his head held high. And Dr. Adamson gets written off as a humourless feminist. We're used to that, Jason, lad.
Yeah, but that's not a motive for murder, Gov.
Just because I've managed not to strangle the deputy chief constable doesn't mean others wouldn't. Now, the Gregory Tower back stairs. So, Linda, anyone could have come up those stairs too.
Well, you're supposed to need a key card to get in and out.
Supposed?
But people tend to leave the door on the latch. It's quicker if you're coming from the bus stop.
What about CCTV coverage?
There's a camera covering the top levels of the stairlift. Health and safety insisted.
Oh, that's...
But it's hardly ever switched on. The academic staff don't like to be monitored and the students complain about Big Brother.
Nobody likes reality TV.
It's not reality TV, it's from a book by George Orwell.
What you need to remember about George Orwell, Jason, is that some pigs are more equal than others. Oh, what now?
Are you the police?
Jeremy Piper, son of the late professor, failed to achieve a first-class degree. Within the hallowed walls of the university, therefore, he is regarded as one step higher on the evolutionary ladder than a three-toed sloth.
I'm Detective Chief Inspector Blair, and this is Detective Sergeant Trotter, and you are?
I'm Jeremy Piper. Linda phoned me about my father. I expect you'll need someone to identify him.
All in due course, sir. I'd just like to say how sorry we are for your loss.
Thank you.
Jason, why don't you round up the professor's colleagues and make a list of the movements this morning and I'll talk to Mr. Piper. In private.
But I...
After all, you are the graduates. You know how to handle these people.
Call the police! Hurry, hurry, won't you call the police? Quick, 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 call the police! Hurry, hurry, won't you...
I don't know, Wait, I need a word.
Chris, isn't it?
Christopher Brown. Is it true, Dinah, what they're saying about Peter?
Oh, it's true, all right. Somebody bopped him over the head.
Oh, poor Linda. That must have been awful for her. What a shock.
Oh, I guess.
And for poor Peter, too, of course. What a thing to happen here. I mean, there are parts of the city where you wouldn't be surprised. That study that Cheryl and Emma did about levels of street violence mapped onto income levels, that was very instructive. There are whole swathes of the city I just won't visit now. But here, inside the university, it's unthinkable.
Well, think it, Chris. Think it. Now, if that's all you wanted, I have places to be.
Well, yes, sorry, obviously, no. What it is now, Peter is dead. I'll need a supervisor for my PhD thesis.
Remind me, what's your title?
A Body's an Embodiment. The Geography of Tartan Noir. It's about Scottish crime fiction in relation to the real world. The geography and the sociology. It's a rich field. I'm sure I could get a publishing contract out of it.
You've been working on it forever, seems to me.
Yes, I know. The trouble is, as Peter kept pointing out, there's so much new material every year. Well, when I started, there was just a handful of writers of significance. But now, it's a positive torrent. Every time you turn around, it's Murder in Monifieth or Homicide in Helensburgh. So I had to keep reviving to accommodate the new material.
You mean Peter wouldn't let you submit?
That's right. Oh, I've done 23 drafts now. I had to go part-time in the end so that I could extend the time frame. I was his final PhD student, you know.
Uh-huh. You know what that means, right?
Yes. It really wasn't fair, Dinah. All these years, I could have been building a career, but he kept telling me I needed to do more work. Will you take me on? Will you be my supervisor?
Well, I'll have to read the latest draft. I can't make any promises. But you deserve an even break, Chris.
Oh, thank you, Dinah. Thank you. I'll email it to you right now.
What a sucker.
What Dinah knows and what Christopher has only recently learned is that he was Professor Piper's passport to his corner office and his parking spot and his share of Linda. As long as the professor was supervising a PhD student, he was entitled to all the perquisites of his position. But as soon as that last PhD was granted, the tit prof would become an emeritus prof, losing all his perks and hot-desking with the other septuagenarians. In the world of greasy totem poles that is academe, the professor who holds on longest to his PhD students is king. Dr. Jo Black makes every crime scene her own. The detectives are often like fish out of water, as Alma is today, and Jason is almost every other day. But all scenarios are equal under the cold eye of forensic science.
The blood spatter's consistent with him being hit from behind. You see the shape of the cast-off blood droplets?
Yeah, textbook.
You know how the first textbook illustrations of blood spatter were put together?
I'm not going to like this, am I?
Probably not. A medical scientist beat rabbits to death with a hammer from different angles and with different degrees of force and analysed all the blood patterns.
Oh, that's gross.
But useful. And speaking of useful, you notice anything about the blood spatter?
You bet. The A4-sized area of the desktop with no blood on it.
Makes you wonder what was sitting there when the prof went to meet his maker.
The nearest approximation to neutral territory for the different schools of thought in any university department is the staff coffee room. But even here, division abounds. Shall it be third wave coffee for the bean to cup machine? Is it morally reprehensible to add milk to Earl Grey tea? Who ate the last Jaffa cake? And is anyone actually grieving for Professor Peter Piper? Into this maelstrom comes Jason, who mistakenly thinks that 3 years as an undergraduate taught him anything about university life.
I swear I had some chai left. Who finished the damn chai?
Probably the same person who steals my soy milk. At least there's one less thief around the place now.
Now, that's something you'd never say out loud when Peter Piper was still alive.
What's that, then?
Who the hell are you? This area is for staff members only, and you most definitely are not one of us. Not wearing that suit.
I'm Detective Sergeant Trotter.
Oh, tell me you're making that up.
a pig called Trotter.
Yeah, I bet the sergeant's never heard that one before, Dinah.
I got it from all my friends at uni when I told them I was going to join the police.
I bet you did. What's your degree in, Sergeant? No, wait, let me guess. Media studies.
Actually, modern history.
Okay, I take it all back.
So, what was the thing you wouldn't say out loud while the professor was still alive?
There's nothing.
That there's one less thief around the place now.
What, he stole people's biscuits?
Way worse than that. He stole people's work. Tell him, Orlando.
There's no proof, Dinah.
Well, there might be now.
What exactly are we talking about here?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Orlando, tell the man.
Professor Piper was my PhD supervisor. When I started working as a teaching assistant, I showed him a paper I'd written. An analysis of the life cycles of underwear.
The life cycles of underwear.
What happens to our scanties when we're done with them? Charity shops, cleaning rags, landfill, upcycling in Africa, that kind of stuff.
And you've got the nerve to jeer about media studies. So, what happened to your paper?
Well, I left it with him and he got back to me after a few weeks. He said it needed more work, so I did what he advised and I submitted it to the journal most likely to publish it.
What Orlando didn't know was that the next issue of the journal contained an article by Professor Piper about the life cycles of underwear.
What, you mean he took your work and passed it off as his own?
It's worse than that. He made it look like I was the one who'd plagiarised him.
Being accused of plagiarism in our world is a bit like being accused of pedophilia in the real world. You never recover from the stigma.
Is that true, sir?
I've been a teaching assistant for 5 years now, on a 0 hours contract. And just last week I was interviewed for a post here and one of the panel said I'd never be able to escape being a plagiarist.
Unless you could prove once and for all that he was the one who copied you and not the other way round.
Surely Professor Piper's the only one who could clear your name. And now he can't.
His papers. Now he's dead, Orlando can access his papers. And maybe that will prove once and for all that Piper was a liar and a cheat.
All I ever wanted was an academic career. I don't care about blackening his name, Dinah. I just want people to know I'm honest.
And it's not too late.
And there we leave them, to endure Dinah's attempts to demonstrate she is the feminist with a heart. Meanwhile, Alma gets on with the serious business of investigating a murder.
But he never mentioned being afraid of anyone.
No, he was a mischievous old sod. He wound everybody up. He loved doing that. But you don't get murdered for that.
Sorry to interrupt. Can I have a word?
I'll be right back, Jeremy. This better be good.
Oh, it's good, all right. We've just started looking at the prof's computer. Linda keeps his paper diary, but he's got an electronic diary for his personal stuff. Guess what's in the diary for Friday afternoon at 2:30?
I've no idea. A dental appointment, a secret love trip.
Oh, much better than that. An appointment with a law firm. And a single word.
Conveyancing?
Don't be ridiculous.
Will.
And even in the rarefied atmosphere of the Ivory Tower, everybody knows that where there's a will, there's a motive. Or at the very least, a red herring.